scratch about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. It's the calm before the storm right here.
Wait, how was I gonna start this off? I forgot. Oh, yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Is it Y2K yet?
I don't know. Probably. I'm not a historian.
Hey, remember when Bean called that guy his personal lord and savior and then he turned out to be a pedophile? That was pretty funny.
I'm not supposed to take ice cream from strange men anymore.
There's a stupid-ass song coming out my radio. Stupid-ass song, wrap my car around this tree. I wish that these a-holes could see. But I can't stand Ralph and I can't stand Bean. There's a stupid ass song coming out my radio. F you guys.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is bonkers.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Likely caused by an ingrown hair.
Roll another one.
Charles Royals.
Just like the other one.
69.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, bye.
And be another again.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, Dick. Woo!
Roll another one.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get away from that guy's boner.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, what's up?
This one seems to be about to end.
Tube tops forever.
I don't have another cent.
When I hear that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing.
I'm a sex addict.
It is getting steamy in here.
Let's pass it around.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Well, don't bother that joint, my friend.
You want to go to Hooters and get some soup?
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
You're not known to be a humble man, but I wonder.
I think I am actually humble. I think I'm much more humble than you would understand.
Our feature presentation.
Those were words that were said by a person.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. This time it's a Friday, and it's the 13th of Rocktober.
Oh, no.
How you holding up, Allie? I mean, we're in the dark timeline right now for you.
Yeah. I mean, I had joy in my life every Monday through Friday for 12 days.
Yeah.
At 7 p.m.
Yep.
On ABC 7 right here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It's come to an end, Bean, and like all good things. But why now? Why now, Austin?
I can't answer that except that maybe he hit a night where the categories were not in his wheelhouse.
And I will tell you this, Bean.
Yeah.
Once Scarlett ran the category on Dolly Parton, I thought, this is it.
Oh.
This is the night that Austin goes down.
Yeah.
And it was. Scarlett won by $51.
Dude.
Are you kidding? $51.
That's like the Nationals losing 9-8 last night. It's so close. You can taste it, but you just can't get it there.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think he had kind of run his course. He was over it. He was okay. He even said in articles, all he wanted to do was win once, and then everything after that was awesome. But he knew everybody he was up against also just wanted to win once.
Well, of course. That's so, why you go on the show, is to win, right?
Yeah, I wasn't done.
Oh, sorry.
That wasn't like breaking news. Like, I figured out people want to win.
Okay, go ahead.
I swear to God. Women boycott Twitter should be women boycott Bean.
Well, that's been going on for years.
That's true. but his whole thing was he just kind of was over it. He wanted to make a name for himself, which he did. But this woman was so amazing and did so good. The utter joy when she won, he was jumping up and down and clapping. And like, I think he was more excited and Scarlett was a little more in shock at what happened. But then it was announced immediately and he'll be back for the Tournament of Champions.
Yeah.
So he wanted to go home. He wanted to drink in his bar. He wanted to get out of this wasteland that is California. I get it, Austin.
I feel like you're putting a lot of that in his head, and you don't know any of that. You're really projecting at this point, right?
Listen, I get Austin, and he gets me.
Can you be now happy for Scarlett? Can your joy continue at 7 p.m. weeknights on Channel 7 because Scarlett is a new champion that you admire?
I was immediately happy for Scarlett because she was such a formidable opponent.
Sure.
And she's a stay-at-home mom from Oklahoma. I was like, killing it, Scarlett. I loved her.
I will say one thing, and I hate to pile on because I know you're hurting.
Yeah.
I did not appreciate you trying to drag the Kevin and Bean curse, which doesn't exist and isn't a thing and isn't real and never has been, into what happened with Austin on Jeopardy.
No.
Don't put your evil on me, Ricky
Bobby,
is what I'm saying.
It was brought to me immediately. People were like, nice Kevin and Bean curse. But I have talked about Austin numerous times on this show. Uh-huh. However, I think some of your stank...
You didn't push back on the curse logic, and that annoys me. And here's why: I'm gonna present two examples from the last 2 weeks.
Okay,
Drew Doughty, Los Angeles Kings, boom, they come out and win that opening night. Ryan Getzlaf, Anaheim Ducks, boom, they come out and win that.
But
opening
he was hurt and didn't play.
That's not the point. The point is, we talked to both of them, and both of their teams then won the opening games that they were calling in to promote. So that's evidence right there. There is no Kevin Bean curse. So take it back.
I don't know why
Take
you're doing
back.
This while I'm so hurt. You're now making it about you, and this is troubling.
I let you get all of your feelings out first, and then I just said, hey, as a P.S., maybe don't throw us under the bus because we didn't have anything to do
with it. Why would
I
throw you guys under the bus?
Because we didn't have anything to do with
it. That didn't happen to me at all for 2 years.
I'm saying there's no curse, by the way. I'm saying either whatever happened with Austin is on his shoulders or it's on your shoulders.
Oh,
it doesn't have anything to, you know.
Doesn't have anything to
Listen,
do with me.
Listen, all I know
saying.
Is I've been wanting to talk about Austin almost every day. And yesterday you said, Allie, why don't we do a whole segment on Austin? I'm like, perfect timing. Let's do it. Wah, 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 wah.
Bean did it.
Bean did it. Kevin wasn't even here.
Yeah.
Let's leave Kevin out of this.
Just bean
this
curse.
Is the bean curse.
Bean curse. Bean curse. Bean curse. Bean curse.
This escalated quickly, didn't it?
Kind of took a turn, didn't it, Mr.?
Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Start talking, butthead.
Well, I will. Actually, I'm very excited because an old friend of the program is stopping by today. He is the writer, director, producer, McGee. You can't believe... the credits that this dude has.
Yeah.
Man, he's worked on a lot of good stuff over the years, and he's got a new film for Netflix he'll be telling us about. He'll be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour.
I will say this, Bean.
Yes.
I'm so upset, I'm so sad, but what makes everything better? A ginger.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really happy he's coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't get very many of those
in the studio.
RJ Bell's going to join us from Las Vegas. He'll give you an opportunity to make some money with the NFL picks for week number 6. That'll be fun. Linkin Park released their bittersweet and very funny and very touching Carpool Karaoke episode yesterday. And I'm sure you felt the same way I did when you were watching it, Allie, which is just utter shock at how joyful Chester Bennington is through the entirety of it. How joyful he is, right?
Not shock, because that goes right in line with people with depression. Absolutely. He was so happy and so charming like he always was. It was lovely to watch. And I think a lot of people don't want to watch it because they aren't quite ready. I think it'll make a lot of people really happy to see it.
I hope so. We'll talk about that, play some highlights for you. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us on the program today. He has a very exciting next week on his late night TV show as he's taking it home to Brooklyn with some great guests. And a lot of fun stuff going on with Jimmy right now. As long as the president doesn't get the FCC to pull the plug on his show before he tries to do it from Brooklyn, which sounds like it may be happening. We are going to keep it 100 on the show today. Give you an opportunity to get any song you want on the air at K-Rock. If it's a K-Rock song, we'll play it for you. That'll be coming up like it always does around 9. Am I missing anything? Did I get everything? Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. We got that. We got more free tickets to give away to all sorts of good stuff. And I think that's it. So we'll take a break.
Well,
we'll be right
done.
Back with more. Guy I'm Hall of Fame. Be right back on K-Rock. LAOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday morning. Ralph, not to take anything away from your Philadelphia Eagles, congratulations. Another great win last night.
Yeah. But
has anyone fallen further than Cam Newton in the last couple of seasons?
Well,
from
being,
a guy who
they
was
were 4-1, and he was playing the best that he had in the last 4 years.
What, last night?
No, this season.
I'm just saying, a game like he had last night is not the kind of game you ever expect to see from Cam Newton. Am I wrong about that?
He's played worse.
Well, he just, I feel like
he didn't win the game, if that's what you're asking. No,
and he threw three interceptions too, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, one was a tip. That wasn't on him. But yeah, he had two picks. I mean, that happens sometimes to a quarterback. But this season, he's played better than he has in the last two or three seasons.
I feel like he's lost a few steps, but you could be right. But congratulations anyway.
Just dial up Sports Illustrated or something. Do a little research, son. Come on. The information's at your fingertips.
Were you sweating it last night?
Yeah, sure. You don't want the Newton is like Aaron Rodgers. He's one of those quarterbacks you do not want the ball in his hands with 3 minutes left and, you know, they're only down by 5 points. You do not want to be in that situation. You want your team to be able to grind out a long drive at the end and just run out the clock. And Eagles were not able to do that. And I said this could come back and bite them in the ass. But luckily the D was sturdy enough to hold them off.
How good is LeGarrette Blount?
He's terrific.
I mean, honestly.
He's having a great season.
He is. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
That must be wonderful.
I forget who he used to play
he
for.
He played for the Patriots, and it was one of our biggest mistakes, as usual. Now
is it
we have
fun
no
having teams
defense.
That are good?
It is kind of
it
fun.
It is, actually.
I don't really know this year, to be honest.
But we have a young quarterback named Carson Wentz, who also is pretty effective out
is
there.
Pretty
on
good.
Yeah, and the defense is a stout bunch. And I'm telling you, overall, you can't be too upset if you're an Eagles fan, right?
Yeah,
now.
You got to feel pretty good about this year for sure. All right, it is a Friday morning. Ralph is here. It's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What is new? What is happening? What is going on?
He's doing that Friday.
It's Friday the 13th. We're all gonna die. Hope you're happy.
I think that happens every Friday.
You see the guy with the hockey mask coming around?
No.
That's what he does. Okay. Jason Voorhees. How many Friday the 13th movies do you think there has been?
This is one of those franchises with a ton. I'm going to say, I'll go crazy and say 10.
All right. Anyone else want to take a gander?
Nine.
Guess? Nine?
I think 12?
12 is exactly the right answer, Chip.
Wow.
There's been an even dozen Friday the 13th movies. I had no idea there were that many.
No.
The Friday the 13th, Part 2, Part 3, the fourth movie, which was called The Final Chapter.
Sure.
Which I found ironic. A New Beginning was the fifth. Then Part 6, Jason Lives. Part 7, The New Blood. Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
No.
That sounds like a joke. That sounds like a parody of a Friday the 13th.
Wait, really?
Movie.
Real movie.
That's
for
real?
I thought you were making like a Muppets joke.
No, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Oh.
Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday. It wasn't. Jason 10, or Jason X, as it's known.
Oh, is that the one where they go to space?
Yep.
It's Jason in Space.
All right.
Freddy versus Jason, the crossover film featuring Freddy Krueger versus Jason Voorhees. And then Friday the 13th. From 2009, which was a remake of the original. So, yeah.
Are they making another one?
Oh, yeah. Sure, there's another one in the works. So, we'll get the kid from Camp Crystal Lake one more time, at least.
Seems like today would have been a good day for that to come out.
And they should come out at least 13 films, right? They should make at least 13.
For sure. Oh, there you go, yeah.
Absolutely. Speaking of things horrific and horror, I want to thank all the folks who emailed and tweeted me and made me realize that I did not even do you justice yesterday. When I was trying to defend the forces of reason and logic against Bean, who claimed that the Monster Mash is a song about a song called the Monster Mash, and we never get to hear the Monster Mash.
Now, it's not my theory. I was just sharing that it is something that a lot of people have been interested in.
Sweeping the internet.
They were sweeping the internet and blowing people's minds.
Everyone is talking about
but
it.
But you were defending that theory pretty vociferously.
I was saying that I think there might be something to it, yes.
But there isn't, because as one listener pointed out to me, the Monster Mash isn't a song about a song. The Monster Mash is a dance.
It's both.
But it's not. No, the Monster Mash isn't a song. The Monster Mash that we hear is a song about a dance move. Mm-hmm. So we're not missing anything. We're not missing hearing the song that is the Monster Mash.
No, we're missing whatever song they're Monster Mashing to.
Boom.
But that, what song are they dancing to? It's probably not called the Monster Mash.
No, it could be called, Hey, Monster, Get Down.
Right. It could just be sick beat that they're just moving to. That has nothing to do with the Monster Mash. Monster Mash is simply the dance they were doing to that music.
Yes.
So we don't need to hear what music they were doing the Monster Mash to. Just a song.
We don't.
It was just a song. The thing is the dance that they're talking about.
Up until this week, everyone has assumed that the dance was being done to the song, the Monster Mash.
Who assumed that?
Everyone. Everyone. You assumed it.
No,
I assumed it.
We all assumed that.
Now the theory has been floated that it's not. That's a description of monsters dancing to some other piece of music. What is it? What's it called?
How's the dance go?
Yes.
What are the steps?
And by the way, for those that I got a lot of reaction yesterday as well. Not all of it can be repeated on the radio
because you are the worst, and everyone knows that now.
It's definitely the one thing we know it isn't is the twist. For people who are trying to say clearly they're dancing the twist, that's ridiculous. First of all, that's not the Monster Mash.
Obviously, a difference.
That's
different
the twist,
dance.
And they even say in the song, "Whatever happened to the Transylvania twist," which was their way of poking fun at the at that time passé twist craze.
Whatever did happen to the Transylvania twist? By the way,
I've wondered. For you.
Why are the kids no longer doing that?
I will tell you this. I got in my car this morning, and the second song that came on was Twistin' the Night Away by Sam Cooke, and I was like, but what are they twisting to?
Oh, my
that
Lord.
That was my thought. And then I started laughing to myself.
This is why Bean is like a virus. He will infect you and ruin your life.
So I've ruined all dance songs now. You'll no longer be able to enjoy the Macarena without knowing the true story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all used to really enjoy the Macarena up until that point.
So it's what I'm hearing, Ralph, just to make sure I understand, is that you support the theory that the Monster Mash is a song about a song.
That would be ill-advised if that's what you were thinking. Okay. That's not the case at all. It's obviously the song is about the dance, and they're telling us about the dance, and what they're dancing to, the beat, the song, whatever it is completely irrelevant and not germane.
Germaine Jackson, if that's what you're referring to, had nothing to do with this.
Can I go home?
Not yet, Jim. A couple more hours. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sammy Hagar. He is 70 years old today. Wow, the little red Teletubby. As a former lead singer of Van Halen, David Lee Roth once called him.
Really?
Awesome.
Yep. It's pretty awesome. Kate Walsh, the actress, 50 years old today. Sacha Baron Cohen is 46. Singer Ashanti is 37. Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things plays Lucas on that show. He is 16 years old. And, of course, because Dave, the King of Mexico, puts this list together for me, L.A. Clippers head coach Doc Rivers made the list. He is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show means two things you can count on. R.J. Bell talks football just after 7, and Ralph Garman talks movies right now. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I know I say this almost every week, but this week, truly, just an insanely varied collection of movies this weekend.
Yeah.
That's what you like, right? That's
bizarre, what we want. Mixed bag of just about anything you could want is out there for you this weekend. Some are small and limited release. You have to work a little bit if you want to catch them. Other films are big budget and big release films. So let's take a look at all of the new movies in the Southland Cineplexes this weekend, starting with what may be the most specific documentary I've ever seen or heard of. It's a documentary called 7852, which was the scene number for the shower scene in Alfred Hitchcock's classic film Psycho. This is a documentary specifically about that one particular scene in that movie. An unprecedented look and breakdown of cinema of one iconic movie scene and the history behind what really changed film and certainly horror film forever.
Yeah, it was the most shocking scene ever filmed at the time, right?
Absolutely. And one of the most extensive uses of editing up to that point as well. There's something like, I don't know, 70 different shots that are edited together to make that scene work. And this is a breakdown of that one scene.
Interesting.
If you're a movie fan, there's a lot to offer in this film. Here's some clips from the trailer of 7852.
I once made a movie. It was intended to cause people to scream and yell, but I was horrified to find that some people took it seriously.
Murder was now going to be an acceptable part of entertainment.
Psycho, you felt could happen to you. This was the first movie that showed you can be naked, alone in a shower, and someone who's going to come in and just stab you.
He has broken the covenant of filmmaker and audience. And the audience cannot wait to see more.
Right?
Ooh. Yeah, sounds good.
Right. Allie, aren't you worried about being stabbed to death in the shower? You can't hear what's going on in your house because the shower is so loud. You don't know who's walking around there.
I have different things set up around the house that'll tip me off if someone comes in. But still, I am definitely worried about it.
What? What do you mean you have different things set up around the house? Your house is booby-trapped?
Pretty much.
Trip-wired like Home Alone?
Yes, a little bit.
Someone needs to do a deep dive.
What?
Because
that's what I've been saying.
You got a head full of bad wiring, as far as I can tell.
Thank you.
Breathe opens up this weekend as well. The inspiring true story, a love story between Robin and Diana Cavendish, an adventurous couple who refuse to give up in the face of a devastating disease. This movie marks the directorial debut of Andy Serkis, terrific actor. You know him from many of his stop-motion performances, like Caesar from Planet of the Apes and Gollum. Here he is directing Andrew Garfield, Claire Foy, Hugh Bonneville, Diana Rigg. All star in Breathe. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Why do you keep your disabled people in prison?
No one's believed it's possible to live as you do.
Well, we should open the gates and set them free. When I first became paralyzed, I wanted to die. My wife told me I had to live. See our son grow up.
Your life is my life.
I don't want to just survive. I want to truly live.
I love my life.
Right?
Wow.
Right. Choke up here in the trailer, right. That thing. Also coming out this weekend, Marshall. Story, of course, of young Thurgood Marshall, the first African-American Supreme Court justice, as he battles through one of his career-defining cases revolving the law and race and prejudice. Very powerful story. Chadwick Boseman, very talented actor, stars as the young Thurgood Marshall. Josh Gad is also in this film. Ugh. So the terrific Josh Gad.
Amazing Josh Gad.
Man, I wanted to see that until that moment.
Kate Hudson and Sterling K. Brown. I'll start you some clips from the trailer.
I only represent innocent people, people accused because of their race. That's my mission.
I never touched that woman.
Neither of them have been telling us the truth.
He attacked me.
I'd advise him to accept the deal.
You lied in a sworn statement. Why would you do that?
Why'd I lie? Because the truth gets me killed.
Good stuff.
Looks so good.
Yeah. Goodbye, Christopher Robin. Stars in this film. It doesn't star in this film at all. It's about this film. Donald Gleason, Margot Robbie, Kelly MacDonald. Great cast. This is a behind-the-scenes look at the life of author A.A. Milne, who... If that name sounds familiar to you, it's because he created and wrote the Winnie the Pooh stories. They were inspired by his son, Christopher Robin Milne. And it was a difficult relationship between father and son. It wasn't as charming and as easygoing as those books would lead you to believe. In fact, Christopher Robin did not like being known as the real-life Christopher Robin. But it was him and his relationship with his little stuffed animal Pooh that created a legacy that we many kids have enjoyed for many, many years. Goodbye, Christopher Robin is the name of the film in limited release. Here are some clips from the trailer.
Ernest and I are putting your bear in a book. We're putting you in it, too.
What will you call me in the book?
Your real name, Christopher Robin. The creatures in the story are toys. They're toys, but the woods are real.
Winnie the Pooh. It's rather inexplicable.
Yes.
Why does everyone like Winnie the Pooh so much?
After the war, there was so much sadness. Then Winnie the Pooh came along.
Radio interview, newspaper interview. He can't do all this.
He's rather good at it.
He's a little boy.
You are all going to die.
No, it's not about dying. It's charming.
Sounds adorable.
You're the worst. Happy Death Day, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, Jessica Roth. She wakes up every day just to get murdered, and she lives the same day over and over again. It's like Groundhog's Day, but with murder.
Yeah.
Oh. That is the worst day to have to relive over and over
but
again,
But you get
it?
A chance to not get murdered if you can kill the murderer first.
Yeah, solve your own murder
Not before, solve your own murder. Stop your own murder. Murdered. You don't want to solve it. You want to stop it, Allie.
She doesn't come back as a ghost
no.
to stop the murder
so,
again.
You do not understand this
Bye.
Film at all. Bye. It is story of a young, obnoxious college girl who learns a little about life and love and herself as she gets murdered every day. She gets a little bit better every day. She's got to find her killer's identity and stop the killer before the killer murders her. She gets a chance over and over again on her birthday or her death day, if you will. Here's some clips from the trailer.
The way I see it, you have unlimited amount of lives, unlimited opportunities to solve your own murder.
So I'm supposed to keep dying until I figure out who my killer is?
You want to live to see tomorrow, right?
We're all going to die tonight. That would be a good place for that.
That would have been more
appropriate. Good there.
I liked it better the other way. That looks good.
Yeah, it does look good. Looks like a throwback to me. Looks like a classic sort of slasher film from the 80s. Like, remember when they used to make all kinds of movies about holidays? Like
sure.
April Fool's Day and Mother's Day and all those other day movies? Mm-hmm. Looks like one of those.
No Thanksgiving, though.
Where is goddamn Thanksgiving?
Right?
Oh, Eli Roth. Professor Marsden and the Wonder Women. This, of course, the story of William Moulton Marsden, the psychologist who also happened to create Wonder Woman. He turned her into a comic book character largely influenced by his wife and their lover. Boy, is that a good relationship. Luke Evans stars with Rebecca Hall and Bella Heathcourt. Connie Britton also stars. Directed by Angela Robinson. Here's some clips from the trailer of Professor Marsden and the Wonder Women.
You think it's possible to love two people at the same time?
Why not?
What is normal?
It can never happen.
The world won't let it.
Dr. Marsden, every issue of Wonder Woman is filled with violence, torture, and sadomasochism. What would happen if Wonder Woman's secret identity was revealed?
Everything would be lost.
I wonder if you were the one with the secret identity.
Ooh, oh, no, you did!
Snap.
Yeah. Now, this never would have gotten made if it hadn't been for the phenomenal success of the Wonder Woman movie, right? Now people are probably interested in the story a little bit more?
I think Wonder Woman is pretty much a major mainstream character enough that people would be interested in her creation regardless. Doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt that movie was a big blockbuster. And of course, then, if you want some action adventure, blowing stuff up, if you want some louds, The Foreigner is the film for you. Opening up this weekend, Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan.
And Pierce Brosnan star in the story of a humble businessman who actually has a secret past of being a secret agent. His daughter gets killed in an act of terrorism, and he's going to find out what's happening from a government official who does not want to give up the information. Well, that's a mistake, because then you have to deal with Jackie Chan. Here's some clips from The Foreigner.
What does he want?
His daughter was killed in the bombing.
Mr. Hennessy, please find out the names of the bombers.
I work for the government, not terrorists.
You used to work for them.
I don't know who the bombers are.
I don't believe in you. You would tell me the names of the bombers.
They kill me on Tuesday.
He's trained.
Bury me on Wednesday.
Maybe special forces.
Mouth me Thursday.
Stop! She's like a balloon!
You gotta let me go.
He just wants you to know he can get to you.
Yeah! Pierce Brosnan is Irish, from Ireland, and his accent sounds fake. I don't know how that happens. How does that happen, Pierce Brosnan?
Huh.
He wants the answers for the people that we're doing, but we're not going to give him time. I hate how you do.
Looks like a very different Jackie Chan in this
movie.
Yeah,
very serious.
Kind of intense.
Very good. Very grim. Not his usual jocular self at all. No jocularity, I say to you.
I don't know if I can accept a non-jocular Jackie Chan.
You want some jock? You want him to be more jockey?
What?
You want Jockey Jackie?
I want Good Lord.
Those are your picks for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Carpool Karaoke, which is one of the best features on any of the late night shows, is on James Corden's program. And it has become so popular that there is now a spinoff with different hosts and a band in a car driving around town. And it's on Apple Music. But this particular episode that came out yesterday was available to everyone, whether you subscribe or not, because Linkin Park put it up on their Facebook page. Allie, what were your thoughts as you hit play on this? What were you expecting?
I'm not sure what I was expecting. I was expecting a very jovial show because that's who the band is. That's who Ken Jeong is, who was the one that was with the band, kind of leading the whole thing. I expected it to be really upbeat and happy, and it was.
It was, but it was also so sad for me. I mean, as much as I enjoyed it, it was hard to watch because you miss Chester so much, and you see how much fun he's having. And the whole thing is, about 13 minutes or something like that?
But it's like 24 minutes.
Oh, is it that long?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You got it then flew by then, I guess. You got some highlights for us.
I sure do. Like you said, it's Chester in the car. Then Ken Jeong is in the passenger seat, and Mike and Joe are in the back. But it starts with a slate that says, "This is being shared with the blessings of Chester's family and the bandmates and dedicated to the memory of Chester." But it starts out pretty funny because Ken Jeong is just joking around with them. And I don't know why. He just starts picking and picking and picking at poor Mike Shinoda in the back seat and then decides that they need to change the name to Lincoln Park, emphasis on the Ken. And here's Chester talking about how he needs to join the band.
Good. Finally, we have some leadership.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you bring. I think that this... You joining the band is actually a really good idea.
Thank you. Now that you passed off the baton of leadership to me, as leader, I would like to somehow diminish Mike's role in just life. If that's possible. I mean,
hey, Mike, do you mind if we just drop you off, like, at a shopping center somewhere? And you know what? You certainly need some new clothes.
I don't know why he was picking on Mike the whole time, but Mike found it hilarious.
They all did, and it didn't stop throughout the whole thing. But that then led Chester to make a little joke, which led them into one of their songs.
You know what Mike is to your constant insults?
Yeah.
He's numb.
Ah!
Numb to him.
That's right. Mike, this song is for you, you numb.
I become so numb. I can't feel you there. I become so tired. So Mike is present.
The only thing that would make that better is if Ken Jeong weren't singing on it.
That would be great. You'll think that a lot, I think, throughout this. But Chester, as we all know, just has one of those kind of otherworldly voices. It's unreal what his voice can do. And Ken Jeong wants to know how he can sound like him.
As a fan of Linkin Park, how'd you come up with your trademark scream, you know?
You know, it's kind of a funny thing. One day we're in the studio and we're working on a song and Mike was just like, do you think you could like just scream like this like thing? And I was just like, you know, like kind of like, rah! And he was like, yeah, can you just do that all the time? You know what I mean? Like just forever on every song. And I was like, I guess, yeah. You know?
So obviously, if you're sitting next to a man with a voice like that, don't you want some pointers? Don't you want to learn how to scream sing?
Sure.
The key to screaming.
Screaming?
Yeah. Scream singing.
I think it's... Oh, scream singing.
Scream singing. It's unlike yelling, where you're like, yelling at somebody! You want to, like, relax the voice, use your diaphragm. So when you hit it like a note, like a regular note that you would sing, like, yeah! Like that.
Yeah!
Yeah! Okay, see? That was great! What? My God!
Did I scream?
You're natural!
Did I scream?
So close.
Screaming. I didn't know it had a term.
Nor did I.
No, very good stuff. Which then led to a game that if you love something, scream it. If you're not into it, whisper. So Ken goes through three different things. So you're going to hear Chester's answer, Mike, and then Joe's.
All right.
Chester, yes. Street tacos.
Yeah!
Take that as a yes. Mike, getting a haircut. Like your current haircut. That scream was super lame. So Mike doesn't like haircuts. Joe, balloon animals.
Ah! Yes! Everybody
knows.
Wow,
that was knew it, dog.
Hell of a scream.
Just weird. It's just some weirdness going on in that car. But this part, I thought, oh no, how is this going to affect Bean? Could Chester have been Bean's earliest nemesis?
I was a leaf blower. We'd drive to location. I'd blow leaves for like an hour and a half. Guess how much I got paid? $4 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
He should have been arrested. Should have been arrested the first time he brought out that leaf blower.
Chester Bennington.
Yeah.
First job, leaf blower.
Well, that changes everything.
Does it? does it really. And during this time, they then pull over because then Ken Jeong wants to show him how to do a dance. And then they all kind of learn the dance. It's just bizarre. And then they kind of zoom in on this lady's house that they're in front of and they close the blinds. It was all like, why did you pull over to... Okay, good times. But then the conversation turns to their kids. And would Chester want them to follow in his footsteps with music?
For me, I just want my kids to find something that they're passionate about.
Me too.
So, you know, like one of my kids like loves sports. Great. My daughters, like, they love music. They want to learn how to play instruments. Because they're like, Lily's really curious. Like, Daddy, how do you write songs? Where does the music come from?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want them to find whatever it is.
That's the part that killed me.
Yeah, that was chilling. I mean, knowing he would be gone less than a week later to hear him talking about how his kids would grow up, that was tough.
Yeah, that was really rough. So they decided that they would then switch to a party bus. And they got out of the car they were in, switched to a party bus, had on feather boas. They had noisemakers.
Yeah, it gets weird.
At one point, they randomly go out and they grab some lady that's like, I'll go in the bus. She starts singing Sweet Home Alabama with them. Very bizarre and delightful. But they wound up ending in the party bus with a little bit of Aerosmith.
I don't want to cry.
And some of the stuff we didn't play, they did Outkast, Hey Ya, they did In the End, a little bit of Talking to Myself, and they did Under the Bridge, and Chester does this falsetto that is just... It's amazing. It's phenomenal. Yeah. But they wound up ending it with the whole car performance of Numb and then a link to the One More Light Fund. So it was really well done. And it was
I'm glad they released it. You know, there were some questions at the time whether it would be appropriate. And I think it is. I think it's a great way to remember Chester. It's a great way to publicize their charity, the One More Light charity. And it's available everywhere, including at KRock.com if you want to see the Carpool Karaoke. And don't forget, they're playing at the end of the month. They're doing that show at the Hollywood Bowl in honor of Chester with members of Korn and System of a Down and Blink and Avenged Sevenfold and more. And it also, one final P.S. is the band posted a picture this week of them in the studio. So they are working together and working through it. So I'm very excited to see what happens next with those guys. But check it out. Thanks, Allie.
Butt stuff. You're the butt stuff. Boom, boom, boom. Butt stuff. Butt stuff.
6:54 Friday morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com, joins us right after the top of the hour to talk NFL. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Who do you think you are? Sticking it in real far.
Are those the lyrics? That doesn't sound...
Stuff?
No.
It's the butt stuff.
I'm not sure that's how...
Right there in the butt stuff.
Not sure how that one goes, but thank you, though. Hey, McGee joins us later on the program as well.
Love him.
I do, too. And our friend Jimmy Kimmel got some great news, got some Keep It 100. A lot of good stuff coming up.
All right. There's a lot of good stuff right here, right now, too, with the Showbiz Beat. How excited are you, Bean? Right?
Tell me more.
CW Network has announced they're bringing back Roswell.
Yay!
Look.
For those who don't remember, this was a big deal for Bean back in the day.
Really? Because
it was teenagers, and Bean, you know, he's a teen at heart.
Sure.
And it's aliens.
Yeah.
It's aliens and teens, and Bean loved this show.
It was my favorite show. First of all, Colin Hanks, who I adore, was on that show. Shuri Appleby, who I adore, is on that show. Believe it or not, Katherine Heigl was wonderful on that show. I didn't grow to love her as much in future roles. But it was just a great cast. It was a great show. And, yeah, I totally was into it. That was the Riverdale of its time.
You're just a teenage girl. You just
so much angst.
Really?
Yeah.
He's an emo girl. Is what he is.
What do we know about the reboot though? What are they? Is it going to be very close to the original? Are they changing it up?
Follow the daughter of undocumented immigrants who reluctantly return. She returns to her hometown of Roswell, New Mexico, only to find out that her teenage crush, who's now a police officer, is actually an alien who kept his unearthly abilities hidden for his entire life.
All right.
Is that the same story as the other one? I never watched the other one.
I mean, no, there were people who were aliens and people who weren't. But yeah, I'll check it out. Sure. Yeah,
sure. Speaking of Riverdale, the premiere of the Archie Comics inspired series had a series high rating. 2.3 million viewers tuned in for the premiere of season 2 of Riverdale. Inexplicable.
That's a good show. It's not inexplicable at all. It's a good show.
Come on. Archie.
And Betty.
Right.
And the other one.
Who's Veronica. The redhead, though? That's what I want to know. Who's that redhead on that show? Is that Cherry?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
I want to say.
All right, Rob. I mean, with the and that.
No, it's a ridiculously hot cast.
Well, it's a C dub. That's what they do.
Yeah, it's ridiculously hot.
They got a ranch, you know, up in like San Ysidro, I think.
Really?
Yeah, is that where they grow them?
They just raise all these hot CW kids. Yeah. And then they go out there and they harvest them. Mm-hmm. They put them in a combine.
Yeah.
And then they take them into the farm there. They hose them down. They clean them up. They polish them up.
You ever been to a farm, Ralph?
And then they ship them down here to the TV company.
I feel like they shouldn't be in a combine.
I don't know, man. But, you don't know how they harvest the CW kids.
I don't.
I've been there, man.
Can we get Gossip Girl back if we're doing all this? Who's with me?
No. No one's
Anyone?
With you.
All right.
I think Dave used to like that show, didn't he? Wasn't Dave a Gossip Girl fan?
I think so. Ralph, I think you might enjoy Riverdale.
Yeah,
I really do.
We'll just have to keep wondering. The world will never know. You know what I would enjoy, though? Beetlejuice 2, right?
Okay.
Come on!
I'm listening.
How has there not been a sequel? It's the perfect kind of film that would allow you to do a sequel.
All the current people involved?
Well, the important players are on
Michael
board.
Keaton.
Tim Burton's on board.
Okay.
And Michael Keaton's on board.
Done. That's all I need.
They're currently working together on Disney's live-action Dumbo film that Burton is directing. And they're excited about doing another Beetlejuice together. So Warner Brothers has made the move, and they've hired a writer to start developing a new script. Now, there was, for a long time, a script going around Hollywood that was Beetlejuice 2, Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian.
I don't know if you're lying.
That's legitimate. That was actually the script.
Oh.
It was Beetlejuice in Hawaii.
But he's so pale.
Right? He would need so much sunscreen. And so that never actually happened.
It writes itself.
But I think they're developing a brand new screenplay for Beetlejuice 2. And it's at very early stages, but I'm on board. I'm excited.
I'm not sure I saw the original.
Oh,
Beetlejuice? What?
Are you kidding me?
My lord.
This is on the heels of last week having not seen Blade Runner either, by the way. I have a lot of holes
very
in
different.
My
very different. Different. Blade Runner, big, ponderous, science fiction epic. I can understand if maybe that's not your cup of tea, but Beetlejuice, one of the classic comedy films of all time.
I might have missed it. Was Winona Ryder in it?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Is there no end to your awfulness?
Look, it doesn't make me a bad person.
It does. It absolutely does.
Movie.
This one does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll make a note.
Hey, how's it going?
That's Beetlejuice fiend that he's doing.
I think I might have been annoyed by that guy
and that voice.
In the trailer.
Michael Keaton.
No, having not seen the movie, I'm just saying I saw him in the trailer and thought, oh, that doesn't look like it's for me.
I'm the ghost with the mostest.
Yeah, see what I mean?
Now you're reaffirming
my choice.
I agree with that lady.
That lady is so right every time. Today's celebrity birthday is Sammy Hagar, 70 years old today. Doc Rivers, coach of your L.A. Clippers, is 56. Kate Walsh is 50. Sacha Baron Cohen, 46 years old today. Shantae is 37. And Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things plays Lucas, 16 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A few minutes ago, we were playing highlights of the Linkin Park Carpool Karaoke with Ken Jeong. If you haven't seen it yet, go to Kerrek.com. You can check it out. Allie, you're going to find this hard to believe.
Yeah?
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're not only rolling out the brand new Kevin and Bean t-shirt for charity, mm-hmm. which is very exciting news, but also details on this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Wait, what?
Right? Monday morning, we talk Acoustic Christmas, give you all the details you need to know at 7:20.
But it's October.
Here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's go out to Las Vegas. Hit it, Steve.
Cozy's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. His Dream Preview podcast is available on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, covering both college football and NFL each week. RJ, is Las Vegas the least Christmassy place in America? Does it even seem like Christmas time when you're there in Las Vegas?
Listen, I don't know about seem like, but Christmas and Thanksgiving especially, massive tourism. Yeah. Think about it. If you don't have a conventional family, you know, maybe you're a couple and no children, or you're single, imagine the idea. You come out here for 4 or 5 days, yeah, eat the buffets. My parents have come. This is my 20th Thanksgiving is coming up in Vegas. And they've come out all 20 years. It's the one time a year they come out. No hot kitchens. Now, I know no conventional people are going to say, oh, you're missing it. But I tell you, a lot of people love holidays in Vegas.
Very interesting. All right. Well, we have you on every Friday to talk NFL. 1-2 last week, which means your season total so far is 10-5, which is still well above what you could expect flipping a coin, right?
Well, let me see, 67% versus 50%. Yes, much, much better.
You're feeling fine about it. All right, once again, you got the Cleveland Browns in your crosshairs. They did not come through for you last week as your best bet, but you got them as the big dog with the Texans. What's going on?
Yeah, we're going with the Browns here. Let's get it out of the way. This is a bad, bad Browns team, no doubt about it. But I think this is a good situation for them. Number one, teams that are 0-4 or worse have won 56% of the time historically. The reason is no one wants a piece of that stinker, so they're cheap. Just because it lost last week doesn't change decades of history with that. But here's number two. They're changing their quarterback. Their number one quarterback is out. You might think that's a bad thing, right? Well, their number one quarterback, his name was Kaiser, had the worst quarterback rating in this century. If you go back to 2000, his quarterback rating of 49, worse than Joey Harrington, Ryan Leaf, Jamarcus wow. Russell. These are some of the names. Let me create some context. Vince Young's career quarterback rating, 74. Kaiser, 49. He's out, and the guy who's coming in, Hogan, will be an upgrade. But the public doesn't think a backup quarterback could be an upgrade. Quickly, though, if you look at the Houston side, J.J. Watt, their spiritual leader, is out for the season. They've been distracted by that the entire week.
Awful.
You know, the energy around that negative. And this is a team that's not used to being this big of a favorite. The Texans have not been a double-digit favorite like this in 4 seasons. So they could fall into the trap of being distracted, thinking, oh, we don't got to worry, it's just the Browns. Well, we're sticking with them, Browns plus 10.
That is a fascinating pick. I can't wait to see what happens in that game. All
or
right,
maybe just watch the score. I don't think you're going to watch the game. Let's be honest.
That's an excellent point, RJ. Now let's move on to the best bet. The woeful Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens are playing. What say you?
We're going with the Bears. Best bet plus 6.5. This is what we call a pros versus Joes. The pros are with me on the Bears. The Joes love the Ravens here. They see a team with a 3-2 record. They see a Ravens team that won their last game. But that last game was against the Raiders without their quarterback. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr was out. In the prior 2 games, the Ravens just didn't lose. They got dominated. There's something wrong with this Ravens team, but they're living on the history of being a good team. You look at Joe Flacco, their quarterback, next to last in quarterback rating. Actually, Kaiser was last. Joe Flacco, next to last. Overall, the Bears have better statistics throughout the season than the Ravens, and we're getting 6.5. By the way, they've got a new quarterback, Trubisky. He was their number one draft choice. I don't think he's much of an upgrade, but I think the energy around his future potential will mean a lot. Real quick, this is a professional tip here, but the regular listeners are just going to understand it too. If you have a big underdog, you want a low-scoring game. Right, the more points you're getting, the less points you want to see scored. Well, this is projected to be one of the 2 lowest scoring games of the week. Thus, our 6.5 points are even more valuable. We're going with the Bears.
All right. And finally, the big game of the week with RJ Bell, pregame.com in Las Vegas. Probably looked great when the schedulers put it together at the beginning of the season. But now here we are at week six. The Kansas City Chiefs are what? Still undefeated. The Steelers are having one of their worst seasons ever. How's this one shake out?
Well, I tell you, the line's going to surprise you in this one, though. We play dog, 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 dog. People probably get sick. We're contrarian. But, hey, we win, right? We won for 3 years. We're winning this year. We're going with the favorite here, Kansas City Chiefs. Here's why. Steelers embarrassed last week. Big Ben had five interceptions. There's open talk of Big Ben retiring. Typically, the public would overreact and say, we want no part of that bad team. We want the other team. And typically, the Steelers would rally together as a professional team, save their pride, have a great next game. Well, let's see here. Is KC is the consensus best team in the NFL. Pretty much everyone agrees. Vegas agrees. Home field in the NFL is typically three. We talk about that all the time. KC has a better home field than usual, a little bit better, and the crowd's going to be rocking. This is such a big game. And the line is only four? So they're saying it's home field plus one equals four. So KC's only 1 point better? What's happening is the Steelers are such a popular team. Everyone is assuming they're going to play a great game and bounce back. That's the only way a spread of four makes sense. But there's questions of dissension in the Steelers locker room. Big Ben and the coach aren't happy with each other. So, yeah, a strong bounce back is possible, but it's far from certain. The spread assumes that it's certain. Thus, we're going KC minus four.
I love hearing the thought process for how behind how these numbers are put up on the board. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see how they play out this weekend. All right, so the Browns plus 10 at Houston, the Bears plus 6.5 at Baltimore, and the Kansas City Chiefs minus 4 hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. You go to pregame.com for all the rest of the games, college football too, and don't forget RJ's podcast again, the RJ Bell Dream Preview. Hey, if you put any money down, be sure to let RJ know, yay or nay, on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have yourself a great weekend, sir. We'll do it next Friday.
Thank you.
This is RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll bring you a new round of great news. Also, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us on the program. I think, McGee, I think you were calling into the Kevin and Bean Show even before the Jimmy Kimmel days. I think that's how far back you go with this program, my friend.
I think much, much deeper than that. I'm sort of raised by Rodney on the Rock all the way through you guys through the whole thing, so delighted to be back home.
It's great to see you again. He, of course, is a very popular and successful TV and film writer and director and producer. You got your fingers in so many things. I imagine you're the kind of guy who always has so many projects in the air that you kind of have to juggle. Like, all right, I'm going to spend the next hour on Supernatural. Now I got to spend the next hour on Lethal Weapon. Now I got to work on the Netflix movie, right? Is that what your day's like?
Right now I'm in a fog because we just heard Buddy Holly by Weezer, and that might be the greatest music video of all time by my nemesis. I feel like Salieri to his Mozart of Spike Jones. When that video came on, it sort of destroyed. I would hold myself and feel weird, and I was perplexed by its magic, and it kind of inspired me and ruined me at the same time. So,
and it still hurts all these years later?
Of course it hurts. I'm not emotionally developed.
What was your greatest video of all time? At the time before you saw Buddy Holly, you thought, I own this, man. I'm the greatest.
I really like the rawness of the blind video I did for Korn because it was just fun. Those guys came down from Bakersfield and they were set up in Huntington Beach and they recorded their record out in the hills of Malibu, and I would chase them around with a camera and I just knew they were doing something special. And I remember one time, you know, we were just kids from Newport Beach. We didn't know anything, and I don't have any relatives in Hollywood or anything. And all of a sudden Korn started to break, and one day I came home and Tommy Lee was on my couch going, "This is the raddest video I've ever seen in my life." And I'm like, "What planet am I on? Where are Kevin and Bean?"
How did he get in your house?
I don't know, but he wasn't wearing a shirt.
Oh, no. Well
that part doesn't
pants?
Surprise me.
He was wearing leather pants, no
okay.
underwear.
Oh. That was how
you got on everybody's radar, was doing music videos?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to be Rick Rubin. I was making records, and our old dear friend Mark McGrath, who was my mm-hmm. best friend in high school, and you know, he was super good looking and didn't have the greatest voice in the world. And I'm like, hey, man, we got to do something and get it out there. And it was the time of music videos. So we made a video and I hid it in a pizza box and I sent it to Rick Rubin and a few other people. And they got a record deal because the head of Atlantic Records in New York City thought he was getting a pizza. And he saw this dopey video I made with Mark. And
wow.
Very charismatic
Serious?
Guy. Yeah.
Have you told that story on VH1 yet? Is that well publicized? Do people know that story? That's amazing.
No, you guys have a knack of bringing it out of me on this show.
Are you you still friends with Mark? You stay in touch?
Of course. I'm the godfather of his two lovely children.
Aww.
Wow. Are we learning a lot of McGee fun facts here today? This is great. Now, I remember you used to call us all the time because we were, as America was, obsessed with the OC, too.
Indeed.
How many years was that thing on the air? 4 years? Five years?
Yeah, those things. I mean, I heard you talking about Gossip Girl earlier, and it's funny because the talented team behind the OC is a guy named Josh Schwartz, really smart guy.
Love Josh.
Yeah, and Stephanie Savage, who I worked with for a long time. I met her on the Charlie's Angels movies, and they, you know, did most of the heavy lifting on the OC. And then they went and did Gossip Girl, and now they're doing Dynasty, and they do all these great things. So, small world.
Do you feel like these actors, especially the young actors, like when you were working with the kids on the OC, I mean, do you get father figure feelings for them, and do you, like, follow their careers and stay in touch with them and touch base?
I've never felt so old. Let me respond to that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's fun discovering exciting people. I remember the day we cast that show. It's a really tedious process when you cast a show. You bring in two candidates, and we went down to Fox, and the two girls that we were considering, you know, it was Misha and it was Olivia Wilde. And you look at these two ladies sitting there and, you know, nobody knows who they are. And now you reflect on it. You're like, wow, they've both gone on to do such big things. It's exciting, those moments. And, you know, Adam Brody's gone on to do his thing. And
yeah,
that's one of the fun parts of the job.
You watch Ben over there on Gossip? I mean, on the
Gotham.
Gotham, yes, Gotham. You watch him on that? Gotham,
oh,
too?
Of course. Yeah, he's a monster talent, and, you know, he's gone on to do his thing. And, you know, he had his cop show, and now he's got Gotham, and he's just an actor's actor. And I remember the very first day of photography, and, you know, he was just the best kid from the other side of the tracks.
He'll always be Ryan Atwood from Chino.
Yeah. Thinking about Chino, I like Chino, damn it.
Yeah.
I might go out there today and just reflect on who I am.
It's the OC, bitch. Come on. I saw, wow, they have so much
You know
to
what
talk
made
about.
Him evil, the Luke character? The puka shell necklace. That'll do. If you want to illuminate evil on screen, puka shell necklace.
I just found my prom picture. Puka shell necklace.
Don't get me into high school
to
photographs.
The prom. What was I thinking? Like, this will really make the dress. Puka shells. What
you
is
know,
that?
You know, you have the benefit of being beautiful. I was like everybody's sidekick.
Stop it some more.
I graduated high school. I was 5 feet tall with an orange afro and a hard-mounted neck gear. I wore dolphins and shoe skates. It was a disaster. There's a lot of people out there from Cronin Omar High School know exactly what the hell I'm talking about right now.
Have you pulled out any embarrassing photos for the Puber Me campaign that Stephen Colbert started?
I don't regard myself as a celebrity, and I thought it would be presumptuous if I did.
Oh, you're absolutely a celebrity.
Damn it, I've got him. I've got him on standby. You know what? I'll whip one. I'll put one on. I'll send you one right now.
You almost said whip one out, didn't you? Allie, you were very excited about having a ginger in the studio this morning. Does it live up to your highest dreams?
Absolutely.
We're a dying breed, the gingers.
Yeah.
We're going out. That's my understanding, or is that baloney? I just heard we're going out, and it's getting
you're on the outs, but you just need to procreate.
Yeah, but the girl, that ginger in It, really, you know, she's leading the comeback. Amy Adams.
I hope so.
A few others.
Do you feel that Ed Sheeran helps or hurts your cause with gingers being attractive?
I'm still bumping on that Game of Thrones moment, and I heard that voice because he's got the most extraordinary. The guy's a monster talent.
Yeah,
monster talent, and you know. So, but cheers to Ed Sheeran. So, what's the question? What are you getting at?
I was just wondering.
Are you bashing
gingers?
Asking,
would you like to have sex with Ed Sheeran?
I listen. I think Ed Sheeran is amazing. Have you seen that guy do his one man band thing?
He's unbelievable.
Yes, I have.
The way he loops everything. He's incredible.
Yeah, you can't. And you know what? He'll drink a beer, and he's kind of like one of the lads. He's sort of like the offspring of the Gallagher brothers. I like that. I just, you know, everything I needed to know, I learned from Morrissey, so I have a soft spot for the Brits.
McGee is here, director of a new Netflix movie called The Babysitter that we are going to talk about in the next segment that you guys are going to love, by the way. But I wanted to ask you because, and this is a little bit embarrassing because it's been on for, what, 13 years now. I've never seen The Supernatural.
And Ralph, can we get Ralph in here?
Yes, I'm sure Ralph loves it. I'm sure all good-thinking Americans love it. That is a show. No one ever starts a TV show and expects it's going to be on for 13 years. The list of shows that have survived 13 years in the history of television is pretty small, right?
It's pretty small. I mean, I heard that it's the biggest American science fiction television show in history. And I think it's only second to Doctor Who, which is a British show. So we're super proud of that one. And Jared and Jensen do a great job. And hats off to him. It's a good show.
How has it survived so long? Why did it not run into whatever either problems it has or just run out of story at year 6 or 7 or 8? I mean, this is crazy.
Because it's a fundamentally fascinating piece of subject matter. Everybody wants to know about the thing that goes bump in the night, and every town has their own myths. So you look into those things, and that's always fun. And we got two great characters to hold our hand and take us through those stories. It's essentially Star Wars and Truck Stop America. Reflect on that.
I had not thought of it that way. All right, a quick break. McGee is here. When you hear about this movie, you guys, The Babysitter, premiering today on Netflix just in time for Halloween, when you hear about Bella Thorne, you hear about Robbie Amell, you hear about Samara Weaving, and all the rest of the great cast, you guys are going to love this. Now, you wrote this and directed it, right, McGee?
And I directed it. A guy named Brian Duffield wrote it, who's a stunning new young writer. He's kind of reminiscent of Quentin Tarantino, and he's got a very original voice, and that's why I wanted to jump all over the movie.
Wow.
He did a great job.
High praise. We'll talk about
it. He has an extraordinary beard.
A ginger and a beard brought you The Babysitter on Netflix. We'll talk more about it next on K-Rock. Mick G, you have any fond Red Hot Chili Pepper memories? You seem to have some for every band we play.
I do indeed. You should see Flea play trumpet. The guy is a phenomenal musician and a larger-than-life character. And 10 cool points to anybody out there that knows his real name.
Oh, I would recognize it if I heard it, but it is not coming to my tongue right
now. I don't
know
how to pronounce the last name. I think it's Balsary. It's a Google moment. Yeah, but I love the Chili Peppers. They're one of the most important bands. You know, look what they've done for so long. It's really difficult to stick around and be relevant and make great music. And it's really interesting to listen to Anthony talk about he's surrounded by the most proficient musicians in the world, and he regards himself as a goofball, which I don't think is true. I think that there's a magical element that goes into that band being who they are, and there's a reason why everybody digs what they do.
Yeah, they got mad chemistry. And we talk about it sometimes. They are.
Wait a second. Did you just go Ebonic?
That happened.
Did you
mad
just go
chemistry.
Mad chemistry. Chemistry.
I'm gonna say that was okay.
Yeah, that's in bounds.
Okay. they're on the Mount Rushmore for K-Rock bands, I think. Yeah,
I think they're on the tip of Mount Rushmore. Who else could be higher in a K-Rock vernacular than the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Well, Depeche Mode.
We think Depeche Mode is the top of the
– You know, Mark said something really funny. Our dear friend Mark McGrath said
– And Sugar Ray's right up there, obviously.
Yeah,
the top four.
Yeah, big time. Mark went to Depeche Mode, and he said he had a hard time seeing because he was crying through his mascara.
Yes, that is about right. Yeah. Hey, listen, we love you, McGee, and we're excited that you're here, but we understand you have to leave for a meeting in 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
My understanding is you're wrapping me up. I'm staying.
No,
I feel like a part of this family. To all those people stuck on the 405, I'm with you in spirit.
I want to make sure that we do a solid on your Babysitter movie. Now, when you made this movie with you and your production company, you didn't know where it was going to end up, right? It could have been bought by HBO, could have been in theaters. It ended up on Netflix. You had no idea, though, at the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, Netflix is just a really exciting company, and we were so inspired by what they were doing with Stranger Things that we got to talking to those guys, and it seemed like a great fit. So it's interesting because I think, you know, when we were all kids, the state of the art was the two-hour movie. And I don't know if that's true anymore. I mean, be it The Godfather, be it E.T., Back to the Future, take your pick. That format seemed like the gold standard. And now I think, you know, I wouldn't really want to see Game of Thrones, the movie. I need to ingest Game of Thrones the way it's presented to me, you know, 6 and 10 hours at a time. Same thing with The Crown. Same thing with Stranger Things. And it's just interesting that I think the best storytelling is now done in that format and just an ever-changing world. And I just want to be like Jimmy Iovine, who, you know, he went from producing records to starting a record company to watching the record business fizzle and making, you know, beats, and now he runs Apple. So you just keep connecting with the audience. I think that's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, look, Netflix is a great place for artists, let's face it. And this is different from anything I've ever seen and perfect for Halloween. For folks who don't know about The Babysitter, set them up.
Well, I mean, it's my homage to Quentin Tarantino, and it's everything I learned from listening to Kevin and Bean for all these years. it's really the
Which
the,
is
the
if you're making a movie, put as many hot chicks in it as you can?
Well, there's a few. My beauty is interior and I have a face for radio, I enjoy putting – I like all things attractive up on the screen. I mean, I like color and I like excitement because I lived a boring life and I had to have a lot of imagination. So, yeah, there's good-looking people in this, but I think the tone of the movie is what sets it apart because I think it's got a big heart, but it's kind of scary and it's kind of thrilling and it's, I think, very funny. So
I'm
very
a little
pleased.
Campy.
Yeah, but I mean,
in a great way.
It's kind of a grindhouse movie.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. I will say this about the lead.
Samara Weaving?
No, Judah, the boy.
Yes.
That
he's tremendous.
That kid's a star.
Yeah,
that
he's a star.
I want to protect him
forever. I want him in my pocket. I want to take care of him.
It's funny because when we shot the movie, he could fit in your pocket. Now he's taller than Bean.
Oh.
he's 12 in the movie. How old was he in real life when you shot it?
Probably about 12. I mean, he was sort of playing his age appropriateness, but he's a very precocious kid who's wise beyond his years.
He has the hottest babysitter in the world, and I don't think I'm giving away too much to find out that he is in love with her, as you will be too when you watch the movie. But she is not exactly what she seems to be. There's some dark things going on in Bee's life, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are the twists and turns that hopefully make the movie worthwhile. And you know, there's a big shift in the movie. It sort of starts out as a John Hughes movie, mm-hmm. and then it changes.
Oh, it changes quick.
Set your body count. So much blood. Perfect for Halloween, but also very funny. Here's a scene between
what Cole. Is this going to be, and how is this going to play on radio? I can't wait to hear this.
Well, let's find out. This is just giving you an idea of how funny it is and how campy it is, as Allie mentioned, but also, you know, it's also scary. So this is Cole talking to his babysitter, B.
Just because I'm 12 means I get to be treated like total sh** by you and Jeremy and everyone else. You know what? You're Don Draper. From Mad Men, how he's all cool and handsome and everybody loves him. And then he goes home and you find out he has a wife the whole time. He's such a piece of shit.
Did you just ruin Mad Men for me?
It's not even on anymore. You'll live.
Still.
See, that's the kind of conversation most people don't have when their babysitters try to kill them.
Well, all I know is we got Billy Jack in the film.
Yes, you did.
So, you know, anybody who likes Tom Laughlin the way I like Tom Laughlin, there's always room for Billy Jack. And anybody who even knows what I'm talking about out there, high five me in the streets.
I do. I noticed it was Billy Jack. I noticed. great soundtrack in the movie, too. I can't imagine how much you had to spend for all that licensing. But
do you know what's wild? You know what's wild?
What?
I spent my youth pantomiming that I was Freddie Mercury. And we wanted to use We Are the Champions. And obviously that's a very, very expensive cue. And that was going to bust the budget. So I wrote a handwritten letter to Roger, Brian, and John, the three remaining members of Queen. And I said, hey, this movie's got a little bit to do with bullying. And, you know, it's kind of inspirational. And, you know, I was just listening to your records my whole life. And everything you've done and Freddie and the whole thing inspired me. And they gave us almost gave us the song for free.
Wow.
And it's just cool that artistry like that and people get inspired and do things. And I know the Beastie Boys do it the same way. They won't let – you can't throw money at the Beastie Boys. They'll only let you use their songs if they like what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it was just really cool to be supported by, you know, the estate and the band and the whole thing. So there's still hope for the world.
That's a beautiful story, man. I like going out on a positive like that. I love that. All right. The Babysitter is the name of the movie. It's on Netflix, premiering today. You guys will love it this Halloween season. And the beautiful thing about Netflix is it'll never go away. It'll always be there for you when you think of it. McGee, so great to see you again, man. Thanks for coming in.
I'm delighted to be here. I can't believe Sammy Hagar's 70. That makes me feel weird.
Coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we will keep it 100, give you the opportunity to request any K-Rock song ever. And we'll, no, not yet, Chip. Not yet. And we'll play it for you just after 9. Jimmy Kimmel next hour as well. And coming up right after the top of the hour, we'll get into some great new... Great new...
What? She was there!
First, Ralph's got the show is me here on a Friday. What's going on?
You're not going to use it. We're not going to put it for
I've
you.
I tried to use it.
You
but
didn't
it was,
use it.
It was
right there.
Early, and then I didn't know to whether I could count on... No, not now. We're done. We don't need it now.
What's the point of having it if you can't? You're not going to deliver.
Because I was just laughing that it was actually there. I wasn't expecting it to be. Can't figure you guys out. And Chip's enjoying this
so much. So
remember
much.
Remember the Kevin times?
Nope. Bruce Springsteen is on Broadway, and the reviews are in.
Yay!
Variety says Springsteen on Broadway is as much a self-made monument to its master's vision and Hurricane Force ambition as it is to his life and career, and bears the mark of a self-made man who will write his own history. Thank you very much.
Did they like it?
Yes, they loved it.
Okay.
Intimate, persuasive, satisfying, and soul-stirring, said the New York Daily News. Deadline.com says, you might think Bruce Springsteen doesn't belong on Broadway, but you would be wrong. So it's all rave reviews. But there is a problem with the show, people are saying.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Can you guess what that problem might be?
It's very difficult to get tickets for.
I would say it's too long.
Neither is true.
Oh,
but it is difficult to get tickets for. People are not complaining about the length. The problem is the audience.
Okay.
Can you guess why?
Because they're hooting and hollering, wanting to sing along.
They sing along, Allie.
Yeah. That's awful.
Bruce doesn't like that.
They sing along.
No.
And Springsteen is saying at the beginning of the performance, don't sing along. He has to make an announcement not for people not to sing along.
He's also been very, very hard on clappers throughout his career, too. Do not try to create your own beat.
Yeah.
That annoys the hell out of him.
Well, because most people are not on beat, and they must right. throw him off. Apparently, he broke into one of his songs. It was Dancing in the Dark. He does an acoustic version of Dancing in the Dark. And people started to sing along, and he stopped the song and said, you know what? I got this.
Oh, jeez.
That's going to shut you up, right, when the boss says that to you?
I heard Tom Hanks was there last night, and nope, don't need it. Whatever opening night was, Tom Hanks was there, Steven Spielberg was there, Edwin Norton was there, all the people.
Yeah, everybody was there.
So that's why, one of the many reasons why you didn't get your ticket punched, Ron, when you were in that lottery.
Yeah. Because Ticketmaster hates me, that's why. Hey, you want to go as a member of Slipknot for Halloween?
No.
Sure you do.
Yep.
Well, the band is selling replica masks of each band member, along with the uniforms they wear on stage.
Really?
The masks range from $32 to $60, while the uniform is $60 plus.
Huh.
So you can be your favorite member of Slipknot for Halloween.
Who would you be if you could be any member of Slipknot?
Oh, I would have to be Gumby, I think.
Yeah, I think I'd go Ropey.
Ropey is good. He's a good choice. You can go to slipknotmerch.com if you'd like to pick up your Slipknot costumes. And I got great news.
You got what?
I've got great news. See, Bean, it's just that easy.
Yeah, it seemed
no, why it doesn't work for me. I can't try.
Try it again, Bean.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sounds like Ralph's got some... No, not yet. You got to wait to the part. Sounds like Ralph has some great news. Come on.
I mean, I feel like you sabotaged that.
You're not going to deliver. You're not going to say the words. Well, why should
trying.
You get the echo?
Not now, Chip. We're done with it now.
This is great news. You know what this is? Great news.
Okay. So good.
That's how you do
yeah.
it.
Seems so easy. Allie, you try it because I can't do it, but Ralph's doing it easy. What's the problem here?
This is great news.
Yeah, it's right there.
All right, now you go.
Okay, Wait. Just try it now.
All right. Ralph now has some... No, it's too early. Wait. Ralph has some great news.
The complete works of the Carpenters. The complete works of the Carpenters is going to be released in a 7-LP vinyl box set. The vinyl collection has all 11 of the Carpenters' studio albums, plus the singles, the greatest hits, 1969 to 1973.
If people don't know, Ralph, your relationship with the Carpenters...
is intimate.
Yep.
Because I love me some Carpenters, mm-hmm. and Karen Carpenter is the voice of an angel.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the biggest fights between you and your lovely wife.
My wife does not care for the Carpenters, mm-hmm. though, so that has caused some friction at home.
But you subject her to it as you guys are making meals and whatnot.
I put on, perhaps, mm-hmm. a collection of music that may include some Carpenters therein. And it rubs my wife the wrong way.
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God. No.
12 LP
no,
box
no.
set. It's very exciting.
Ralph! No.
And it's coming out on November 17th.
No.
Is my birthday.
No.
So happy birthday to me from Karen Carpenter from Beyond. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?
No, and no.
Like me, they long to be. Close to you.
Ay, Dios mío.
Hey, celebrity birthdays. Sammy Hagar. What speed can he drive at? Does anybody know?
I believe it is the speed limit.
Oh, he can? Yeah.
Which would be 55.
So you're saying he can drive at 55?
He can.
Huh. I heard otherwise.
Yeah.
70.
No,
years
he can't.
I was confused by that, Allie.
That's what I was saying.
That's
I'm surprised you were trying to convince us he can drive the speed limit.
That's the one
plot twist.
That's the one he told
us. That's the one speed he's not going to drive.
Did you see it cross my face? I watched that whole thing play across your brain.
You could have picked any other number, and it would have been right. But
sure
that
could've.
One.
Over or under, I think, would have been acceptable. But the one speed he can simply cannot drive is 55.
Yeah. So that was a weird answer.
70 years old today. This is why you're not going to be at the Tournament of Champions. Yep. Good night, everybody.
See you later.
Tip your waiters and waitresses. They work hard.
Hang on. Not there yet, guys.
Doc Rivers is 56 years old today. Actress Kate Walsh is 50. Sacha Baron Cohen is 46. Ashanti, 37. And Lucas from Stranger Things, Caleb McLaughlin, celebrates his 16th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Two reasons to make sure to be here Monday morning on the... Nope. I don't. Not yet. Not yet. Let me do the thing first. Monday morning here on the Kevin Amin Show, we are rolling out the latest Kevin Amin t-shirt. I think you'll enjoy very much. Got that information for you. And at 7:20, all the details on this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. No joke. I know it's only going to be the 16th of October, but we got that for you. Monday morning, 7:20, it's Acoustic Christmas time here on K-Rock. All right, now it's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Yeah.
The world is not an awful place. There are nice people doing nice things for other people, right?
Yes.
That's our takeaway. Who wants to go first this time?
I will. I'll go first. You know, in this day and age, there's a lot of sometimes bad news that comes out about law enforcement. Sometimes it seems like the focus sometimes is on the bad apples in the group versus the group as a whole, which I firmly believe our cops and our first responders and law enforcement are really the best of the best. The vast majority of them are tremendous people who put their lives on the line every time they go to work for the benefit of the rest of us. And I really appreciate
couldn't agree more.
Very much so. Very much. And that's why this story I thought was so terrific and needed to be shared, and especially because it is local. This is a story of an elderly gentleman who was inside a Bank of America, 92 years old, and just going off, having a fit, causing such a ruckus that the police had to be called. He was very upset because tellers would not give him money from his account. And so he was throwing a fit, and the cops had to be called. It turned out that this 92-year-old gentleman had a expired California identification card. Now, the Bank of America's policy is that there must be a valid government-issued ID that has to be shown when you're making a withdrawal. And this guy had his ID, but it had expired. And he was throwing a fit because he needed his money. And so the police were called. And there's a Montebello Police Department officer named Robert Jossett who answered the call. And instead of throwing the guy out, instead of making him leave, Officer Robert Jossett took the time to talk to this elderly gentleman and found out what the problem was. So he took him by the hand and gave him a ride over to the Department of Motor Vehicles, where he intervened on his behalf and got the DMV workers to quickly renew his identification card. Then Officer Jossett brought him back to the branch of the bank where the elderly man was able to get his hands on his money just before closing time.
Hmm.
So really going out of his way above and beyond the call of duty to help this elderly gentleman get his affairs in order so he could get some money out of the bank. Obviously, this is not something this officer needed to do, but I wanted to give a shout out to Officer Robert Jossett just for being just a kind-hearted guy who helped out an old man who was obviously confused and having a difficult time. So,
how much did that old man need to buy drugs if he had to get that cash right then?
I don't think.
I mean, we don't know. Obviously.
Once again, leave it to Bean to dump all over. Great news!
Alan McKay, you're up next.
Fantastic. This is my great news. This is about a 6-year-old boy that was diagnosed with autism when he was 2. And I don't know if you guys know much about autism, but there are certain sensitivities and sometimes super hypersensitivities to sound and touch, things that you can't really wrap your head around because you don't understand what's happening in their brains. But this little boy doesn't like to be touched, doesn't like to hear sound. So as you can imagine, going to get your hair cut from a stranger with a pair of scissors coming at your face is scary enough when you're a kid.
Right.
Sure.
But when you also have autism, that's on a whole different level. Mm. And this little boy and his mom were turned away by every barber they went to because they couldn't figure out how to calm him down, how to make this actually happen, until they met a man named Franz Jacob. This takes place in Quebec, and it's one of the most beautiful stories I've ever seen. There's a picture that went viral of the little boy laying on the floor and Franz laying next to him, cutting his hair. And this barber basically just takes the time. He usually sets up the appointments later in the day so they could be his last appointment. They come in and spend about 90 minutes together where he just kind of gets the kids really calm. He'll sit with them, talk with them. Maybe they'll have candy, whatever, just to get them really comfortable. And then he's able to kind of gain a little bit of trust and understanding, and he's able to cut their hair, which is, for some of these moms and dads, the first time their child has ever been able to sit for a haircut. So it's just amazing stuff that he's doing. And he said, quote, anyone can make a difference with an open mind and love. And that is my great news.
All right, now it worked for Ralph. It better goddamn well work for me when we get to the echo part. No, not now, Jeff. At the end, when I asked for it at the end, I want you to have it ready to go. All right?
Oh, the end.
Oh, the end.
Right.
Here's a 65-year-old named Earl Meckert. He lives in western Minnesota. In fact, he's driving on his way to his job. He works at a fertilizer factory at Elbow Lake, Minnesota.
Elbow Lake.
It's about 150 miles northwest of Minneapolis. He looks out his car window, and he sees something moving in the field about a half a mile away. At first, he thinks it's a deer, and then he realizes, hey, wait a minute, that's a person. And then he says, hey, wait a minute, I recognize that face. It's been on the news. It's been online. I've seen posters in stores. That's that missing girl. A 15-year-old girl named Jasmine Block had disappeared from her home on August the 8th in Alexandria, Minnesota, about 30 miles away, and had been kidnapped and held hostage for 29 days by three guys. She escaped when they left for food, started running through the field, swam through a lake, ended up in this field when Mr. Melkert recognized her, pulled over and said, you're the girl who's missing. And she said, yes, I am. So he's a hero. He gets her to the police department. She is able to identify the guy's cars, by the way, in the neighborhood. All three of them have been arrested and are in jail. Now, so far, it's just a, hey, right place, right time. He did the right thing. And it's a nice story. Here's where it turns into great news. Here's where it turns into great news. There was a reward that was being offered for any information leading to finding this little 15-year-old girl. It was $7,000. $2,000 that had come from the lady's family, Miss Jasmine Block's 15-year-old girl's family, and $5,000 from people in the community. So a $7,000 reward was handed over to Mr. Melkert, who had found the girl. What do you think he did with the money?
Bought crack.
I wasn't thinking that. Oh. I was thinking maybe he donated it or gave it to the girl to get her life back.
He gave it to the little girl because of everything that she had gone through. He's like, look, that family needs money. Yeah, of course, it's a lot of money, but they need it way worse than I do after what they've gone through. The police chief at the Alexandria Police Department said, thank you, Earl. It's people like you that make this world a better place. He, by the way, Mr. Melchert, is a self-described country boy. He says, although they're getting a lot of praise from social media, including people calling for him to run for president, which may be too far, he says he has no such plans. He actually just retired last week. He says this is a great retirement present to hand the money over to the people who really need it, especially after what Jasmine has gone through. I just think that's such a sweet story. I mean, like, he didn't already do enough for that family to find the little girl. Now he's handing over the reward money too. That, my friends, is great news.
You know, it's that time of year again.
Nice.
And by that time of year, I mean, where can I get the biggest and the best candy bars if I go out trick-or-treating?
Yep.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
Every year, Zillow comes out with a list just like that to answer that question. What cities should you be in if you're looking for the best candy on Halloween night? Los Angeles came in at number 3. That's up a couple of spots this year, Allie.
Wow.
So apparently good place to do some trick-or-treating.
All right.
San Francisco was number 1, then San Jose, L.A., then Milwaukee, and Phoenix were the top five of cities where you're likely to get the best free sugar on Halloween night. Now, I will tell you a place you don't want to go.
Yeah.
And that's wherever Ken Ham lives in Kentucky. We've talked about Ken Ham before. He is back in the news. He's the guy that runs that, he's a creationist. He runs the Noah's Ark attraction in Kentucky.
Right.
And he thinks that October 31st is a fantastic opportunity to share the gospel with your friends and neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
He is encouraging you hand out not candy, but religious pamphlets to the kids that come to your door, which is another way of begging the kids that come to your door to come back and egg your house later that night. But maybe we're missing it. Maybe there's... Yes? Go ahead.
I was going to say, not just giving out pamphlets. Pamphlets about eternal damnation.
Yes?
That's what we're talking about.
Well, let's find out from Ken. It doesn't sound like, on the surface, like it's a great idea that the kids would appreciate, but I'm sure he's got a different spin on things. Welcome back to the program, Mr. Ham. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Well, we're a little bit confused by...
Happy Halloween.
Halloween to you as well. Yes, thank you.
Yes,
we're a little
Halloween
bit
to you.
Yep, no happy. Just straight to
Halloween
the
Halloween. Halloween to you. Be that way.
Confused by what it is you're handing out to the children.
Well, I'm putting Jesus back in Halloween. That's what I'm doing.
Jesus was never in Halloween. There wasn't even a Halloween when Jesus was around.
He was. Jesus was the original zombie, my friend.
Oh, dear.
Let's face it. Come on. He died, and then 3 days later, he's out walking around again.
Right. But this holiday.
Put Jesus back in Halloween where it belongs.
I think that's a stretch, but then you do stretch a lot of things that you read in the good book.
How dare you, sir? I'm telling you, the kids love my house here at Halloween. It's sort of a spooky house. And then they all show up, and I give them one of my dino bucks. They love the dino buck.
What does it say on the dino buck, Ken?
Now, the dino buck is a fake $1 million bill.
Mm-hmm.
It comes either with a picture of a dinosaur or Noah's Ark on the front of it. And then on the back, it says the following message. Have you ever lied, stolen, or used God's name in vain? If so, you've broken God's law. The penalty for your crimes against God is death and eternal hell.
Okay, but that's not what
the kids love. It.
No, the kids. What the kids want is a Snickers bar. That's what the kids want, Ken.
Well, I'll tell you what. They can have a Snickers bar, or I can save their souls, which I think is a better gift. Because let's face it, it's a minute on the lips. It's eternal hell on the hips, okay?
Quite the slogan.
So I like to save the kids' souls when they come by, but give them a little preaching on a fake $1 million bill, which they love because it's hilarious. It's a novelty, and there's a dinosaur's face on it, which is hilarious.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying the kids love it. You've done this before, and their reaction?
Every year I give these out to the kids. And every year, I have more and more of them left over. It's surprising how
weird.
The kids aren't coming by. So I'm putting some treats out this year as well. I'm also
okay, finally.
I'll be giving the communion Necco wafers.
Oh, no.
Okay, again, that's not...
The kids combine it. I stick their tongue out, I'll put a communion Necco wafer right
like
on
this.
Their tongue.
Nope.
That's not how it's supposed to work.
I got candy corn crucifixes this year. Mm-hmm. Anybody wants one?
Okay, again, it's not a good mix. I don't think that religion and Halloween are what the kids are looking for.
To teach about eternal damnation, I will drop a hot coal in their bags for trick-or-treat. They say, trick-or-treat, hold the bag out, and I just get some tongs and drop a burning hot coal in there.
Oh,
that's just a mess at the end of the night.
They tend to melt the chocolate, but they remember a lesson. I think it's well learned. And then I'll give them a little bottle of Pontius Pilate hand sanitizer when you want to wash your hands for the whole thing.
Friday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show mean you get to pick any song you want, any K-Rock song ever that you want to hear. We'll play for you just after 9 a.m. as we keep it 100 coming up in just a few minutes. But first, hit it, Steve.
Ba-da-ba-ba, it's Jimmy.
Our friend Jimmy Kimmel has been holding down late nights on ABC for 14 years, believe it or not. And for the third time, he is heading back to Brooklyn, doing the show live all next week from the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Howard Gilman Opera House. Always a pleasure to welcome James to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm actually just calling to request Fascination by the Human League.
Well, you got to text in a few minutes, Jimmy. We're not taking calls by request. I'm sorry. You can't call in. You got to text. Nice try, though.
This sounds like quite a plan you guys have going there.
It actually works out pretty well. You'd be surprised some of the stuff people come up with, stuff that we ordinarily, we haven't played in a million years. It's just fun to hear again, you know?
All right. People have to put a smiley face on this nonsense. What's going on with you guys? Where's Kevin? He's out with some disease or something?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he is.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, gonorrhea. It's no joke, Jimmy.
Hey, Jim, when are you leaving for Brooklyn?
Shortly. I'm actually getting on a plane with the whole family very soon.
Oh, that's a lot of fun to travel with kids that young, right?
Yes.
That's a treat. I saw you on Good Morning America this morning talking about how you, when you take your family back to Brooklyn, where you were born, by the way, Jimmy grew up in Brooklyn until what, age 9 or something, right? Yes. And you were saying how you kind of feel bad that your kids don't get that living in a city experience. I mean, they got a pretty good gig where you guys are, but what do you mean when you say that, Jimmy?
Well, not even the city. It's Brooklyn is so different from New York City. It's and the idea that most people have of Brooklyn is it's true, but that's in the top part of Brooklyn near the bridge. In the bottom part of Brooklyn, people rarely even leave that area, and kids just kind of they just roam freely in the streets, or at least they did when I was a kid, and at least they did the last time I brought my older kids back there. They're just, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night, and everybody's just out running around, and it's kind of fun that we don't necessarily have here in L.A.
Yeah, it's a neighborhood experience where, like, everybody knows everybody on the street, and those are your friends and you play with and hang out with all the time. And I think you're right. I mean, I think you said in the interview this morning, like, most people don't even – they literally don't even know their neighbor's kids' names, right?
There is a funny – yes. There's a funny thing that happens in Brooklyn, though, is everything is so kind of jam-packed together that, like, somebody will get a fence on their lawn, and then someone else on the block will see that fence and get the same fence. And then another person will get the same fence, and the person who originally got the fence is always mad.
When you go back, when we used to take this show to New York back in the day, Jimmy, one of the reasons we used to love to do it is because there would be New York-based guests that we wouldn't get a chance to see very much. Like, we'd have Diddy on, or we'd have Gilbert on, or Regis on, or something like that. Same deal for you? Is it easier to get some of these guests when you're out there?
Definitely. It's kind of a funny thing. It's because it's not like these people never come to L.A., but it's almost like when you go visit somebody, it's like, oh, we got to get together while we're there. And it is. Well, you know, like David Letterman, for instance, doesn't come out to L.A. frequently. Howard Stern doesn't come out to L.A. frequently. And then there are guests who do, but who live in New York, and it just kind of works out, like Amy Schumer and Tracy Morgan and, you know, a lot of the other people that we have on the show this week.
Now, you're obviously super good friends with Howard Stern. I'm sure he'd do the show whenever you asked. But how tough was it to get Letterman? He hasn't exactly been doing a ton of press since he left his show.
You know what? We called and asked, and he said yes. So it wasn't hard at all. And in fact, as I understand it, Howard, who's always trying to get out of doing the show, decided that he would try to book himself on the night Letterman was already booked, assuming that we would say, oh, no, we can't do it that night because Dave's on that night. But we called Dave, and he said, yeah, I'll move to another night.
Wow. So what? It's going to be Letterman all one night.
Letterman will be one night,
oh,
yes.
I love it.
Do you ever, Jim, you've interviewed everybody. I mean, I can't imagine there are too many you haven't gotten on your show after 14 years. But are you super nervous when you sit down talking to Dave just because he's your hero?
You know what? Honestly, it's worse off the show than it is on the show, because at least on the show, I know that I have a job and a role, but we did a thing, Kennedy Center, in honor of Bill Murray last year, mm-hmm. And Dave was backstage, and you know Bill Murray was backstage, and needless to say, I'm going out of my mind, but I had one of the most uncomfortable conversations I've ever had with anyone in my entire life with Dave, just trying to kind of keep it together and act like I was cool.
Like what kind of small talk is appropriate when you're hanging out with David Letterman? You feel like there's nothing you can say that is going to be entertaining or interesting to him, right?
Well, I always talk about fly fishing because I know it's a mutual interest we have, but I'm sure at this point he may think that, like, this is all this guy ever talks about.
Right.
He must think, I've got some weird obsession.
Jimmy loves fly fishing.
him and the fly fishing again. Here we go.
This is the voice of our friend Jimmy Kimmel here on the Kevin Bean Show, taking a show to Brooklyn on ABC Late Nights for 5 big shows next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Is there any concern, James, that the president may get the FCC direct them to pull the plug on your show before you take the stage Monday night?
Boy, he's something, isn't he, making FCC-related threats. I mean, we used to be worried about, you know, saying the B word on the air, and now we're worried about the president getting mad about the news and pulling the whole station's license. Crazy.
It is. I mean, every day is crazy, and you probably talk about some of the things you talk about because you feel like they're important and also because you feel like they're funny. You can make them funny, but it must be so encouraging to see how well it is being received by the audience and the fact that your ratings are so up in the last year. I mean, you got to feel really, really good about that.
Well,
I don't feel great about it, to be honest with you, because there are other things I'd rather be talking about. But you're right, though, in that he does have a combination of terrible and funny. Like, you know, you have to, when you are judging it from a neutral standpoint, you have to say, this is funny. Like, if I was in Canada, I would be laughing my ass off every single day. I'd be in hysterics at what's going on with us here. But, you know, sometimes it's not so funny.
Of course. And we get the same thing here, Jimmy. There are so many people who criticize us whenever we do a Trump bit or talk about something that happened. But, I mean, it's almost impossible not to, because, A, it's important. B, he's the president. And C, it really is – it's too funny to not do something with, right? You can't just leave that on the table.
Yeah, no. It's, you know, it dominates the news, and you're talking about what's in the news. So, I mean, that's what everyone is talking about at all times. Even when they're calling to complain about it, they're talking about it.
Yeah, right.
It's unavoidable. Believe me, it's like living in South Dakota and never wanting to mention Mount Rushmore. It's like, all right, well, what else is going on around here?
All right. Well, now I have a I hope this is going to be news to you, Jimmy. When I tweeted at you last night that we had a surprise for you on the show.
I must have been off. I must have been avoiding all the people that are threatening to kill me.
That's been unfortunate, by the way. I don't know if this is going to be a huge surprise to you. I'm hoping that you're going to be hearing about it from us first. But we got an email the other day from a representative of the Oxford English Dictionary. Have you heard from them recently as well?
I have not.
They are doing a word search. Entomology, is that the term? Or is that bugs? Which one is words? Which one?
Etymology, I think, right?
Etymology, okay. They are doing a background check, shall we say, on the word jackhole.
Wow.
Because they want to put it in the dictionary.
Well, my life's work is complete.
You're done.
Wow. Are you sure this wasn't a Ralph Crank calling you from the other room?
No, this was an actual
Hello,
email.
This is the Oxford English Dictionary. Is Jackhole there?
No, this was legit, Jimmy. Now, for folks who have just grown up their whole lives hearing the word jackhole on TV and in movies, they don't know the history. They don't know where it came from. Would you please tell the story?
It came from, first of all, the FCC helped bring it to life because you're not allowed to curse on the air. So I came up with a word that was a combination of jackass and a-hole, jackhole, and started using it regularly, and it just somehow it caught on. In fact, it's the name of my production company.
Yeah, we see it at the end of every night of your show, right. And I remember so well you coming in saying, guys, the words that we have that we can use are not strong enough. We need something that sounds it's got a little bit more bite to it, but it's something that we can get away with saying on the radio. And that's when you came up with jackhole. And have there been times, Jimmy, where you have been watching TV or movies and that word has just ended up in the script and you didn't know it was coming and it just took you by surprise?
Yeah, I mean, another talk show host, Andy Cohen, does like his jackhole of the week or something like that. And I was like, hey, that's I made up that word.
Sure, Jimmy. Right?
Yeah, and people like are like, what? You know, you tell somebody you made up a word and you sound, you know, like Donald Trump. You sound crazy.
Right. I mean, if it ends up in the dictionary, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't, because it's clearly standing the test of time. Clearly it's lasted and people are using it and it's here to stay now. I mean, is that like so crazy to you?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, I think it will be especially crazy if I open that dictionary and see it. I think that's where it'll really sink in.
Well, one of the reasons they contacted us is they're trying to get the backstory of the word, so they're trying to see if we have any audio. And unfortunately, I don't know if we would have, you know, saved something like that. We didn't do a very good job back in those days of saving tapes and stuff.
Right.
But we are looking, and I think they're going to.
I think I might have a picture of myself in a T-shirt a listener made for me that said jackhole from back then.
Hey, that would help. That would help a lot. But I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get in touch with you. I just wanted to kind of give you a heads up that they may be doing that because I laughed out loud when I saw that. That was so cool.
Now
so.
The funny thing will be every listener with a sense of humor is going to be calling my office pretending to be from the Oxford Dictionary.
Sorry about that. All right. Great guests in Brooklyn all next week, including Allie. Billy Joel is going to be there.
I'm losing it, Jimmy.
Yeah.
that'll be fun.
Losing it.
We mentioned David Letterman, Tracy Morgan, Amy Schumer, Howard Stern. Musical guests also include Cardi B, LCD Sound System, and so much more. It's always fun when Jimmy takes the show back to Brooklyn. Brooklyn Academy of Music, Howard Gilman Opera House, next Monday through Friday, ABC Channel 7, 11:30. James, we know how busy you are. We try not to overstep the privilege when we ask you to come on the show, but we appreciate you squeezing in some time for us today.
Thank you. It is always a delight.
Talk to you soon, man.
All right, Jackal.
By the way, I don't think we've mentioned this on the air, but
right?
the Offspring has a show coming up on October 30th. Where is it, Chip?
The Observatory in Santa Ana.
Who's opening for the Offspring for that night?
Well Hung Hart.
Yeah. What? Who's playing bass?
I don't know.
Chip, you are.
Until we find out that I'm in the band, I think I'm not going to be playing.
Chip, you are opening for your favorite band.
Wow. Yeah,
that's incredible.
It's pretty sweet.
It's got to be a huge error on someone's part, right?
Yeah.
Some sort of
someone's
going to
call
Doodles
and let them know that this is a bad idea.
Something happened.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. And tickets are on sale now for that or no?
I think general on sale is at 10 a.m. today.
Okay. All right. So if you want to see that on October 30th, the band is also playing with a different, far inferior opening act the next night on the 31st. So tickets for both are going to
They're also good, too.
Hey, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you want to text us right now, it's your chance to ask for any K-Rock song. Don't do it like Jimmy Kimmel did and just call in and request the Human League, okay? That's not how it works. You got to text it. 1-800-520-1067. You can pick a great song like these people did. I get no doubt. So that's just a few of the suggestions you have made at this time every week. 1-800-520-1067. Any K-Rock song, if we have it, we'll play it. You can text us now. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, the Producers Guild of America are having an emergency meeting tomorrow to decide whether they should expel Harvey Weinstein from the Guild.
On a Saturday?
Yep. It's an emergency meeting, so they're calling the membership together to talk about whether they should give him the boot or not. And, of course, they should. And as I mentioned yesterday, the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Science, they're going to be holding a meeting over the weekend as well to discuss Harvey's membership in that austere group and whether he should get the boot from there as well. So little by little, they are chipping away at this man's world, and I cannot say more strongly how it's not enough yet, but hopefully they'll get to a point where I'd like to see him do some time. If we can manage that, if we can work that out somehow.
Yeah, New York's investigating. London is investigating.
The FBI is putting an investigation together to make sure he does not flee the country.
Yeah.
The FBI!
Exactly, those people. So the noose is tightening around this scumbag. And that's a good thing for everyone involved, I think. All right, let's move on to nicer, happier things. Guns N' Roses had a special guest on Tuesday night at their concert in New York's Madison Square Garden. It's finally the combo you always wanted to see. Axl Rose and Pink. What are they doing? What's that all about?
Okay, explain the Pink.
Yeah. She came out to sing Patience with Axl Rose. And it sure tried mine. I gotta tell you that much. Right? Who's with me, fellas?
You didn't pack it.
Now, hold on. That sounds like that would be good. Her singing Patience, she's got a beautiful voice. She's a great singer, great song.
I know this is the new thing that everyone has to do this, where you have to bring out other people to sing your hits. I'm spending money to see Guns N' Roses sing Patience.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Pink come out and sing Patience. If I'm spending money to see Billy Joel, I don't want to see Pink come out and do New York State of Mind or Miley Cyrus or whoever else they dust off in the back and trot out. Stop it, America. Do your job. Stay in your lane. Okay. Play your hits.
Just a little Pink.
No,
I think
no
I think I'm leaning more towards you being correct on this.
I think you want to see the performer that
Absolutely.
You can't see, right?
Absolutely, and especially
once in a while. You know, it used to be sort of a cool novelty thing, like, oh, this artist showed up out of nowhere and performed.
And it would be a big deal.
But it seems like every concert now has one of these moments, and it's always during a big hit.
And if it's your favorite song and that's the one you're waiting for,
then you get horked.
You are horked, what I was going
to
say.
Right.
So what are you saying to the Kevin and Bean listener, Ashley, who was on stage singing Everlong with Foo Fighters a couple of days
ago? Get that big. bitch off the stage, right?
How the hell did she get in? What happened there?
I paid to see Grohl sing it.
Well, actually, no one paid.
No one paid. They were very lucky to see
them. Ralph, how about if the guest artist...
Here we go.
I'm just asking. How about if the guest artist is a surprise and an upgrade? Like, you're at a Bryan Adams concert, and he brings out Bruce Springsteen to do a little duet on Summer of 69.
Well, if I'm at a Bryan Adams concert, then I deserve a blanket party in the parking lot. Right?
I take it that's not a good thing?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Didn't you ever see A Few Good Men?
It's been a long time.
Beetlejuice. Right. First Beetlejuice, now A Few Good Men.
So you're saying, no, I did see it. It's just been a while. So you're saying to stop it with the guest stars. Noted.
Yeah, I really like every once in a while, but it doesn't have to be all the time now with every show. Someone's got to come out now.
You deserve a lemon party.
No, that's a very different thing. Hey, Allie, here's a musical piece of news that you'll like.
Hold on a second.
What happened?
Ashley Escada just tweeted me and said, I heard that.
I hope so. Hope you're happy you ruined everything for everyone.
Oh, no.
Right? I hope she's happy with that. Hope you ruined everyone's experience. That's fine.
We love you, Ashley.
She's the worst, right?
She's the best.
Well, we loved her until she ruined the Breakfast and Food Fighters.
It's like, you know, Dave Grohl doesn't come to CNET and start talking about iPhones.
And then I interrupt and I'm like, let me tell you about an Android.
Oh, hey, look at this 4K TV. I trot one out and start making up stuff. Why don't you stay in your lane? Let everybody do their job, Ashley. For God's sakes, isn't it? Oh, it's got to always be about you.
Ah, this turned. We're all just having fun.
She's the worst.
She's the best. We're just kidding.
This is for Allie. She would like this. You want to eat pizza with Ed Sheeran?
Well,
come on.
Can I have a salad instead?
No.
I'd like to enjoy
my
time with Ed.
Pizza with Ed Sheeran.
Well, then I will.
Then fly around the room like a balloon with the air coming out of it.
Listen, it's not only that end.
What other holes does the cheese affect you in?
At the same time. Yeah.
No one can see that, Allie. We're on the radio.
Well,
so
sometimes.
You throw up as well as.
Yes, I have to have a little,
from the other end?
A little trash can in my lap as I'm. Good morning, you guys.
Oh, Lord.
I don't want to.
You are effed up.
It's not good.
Omaze is having a contest where the winner will get to have a slice or two with Ed Sheeran, and he will serenade you with a song. You'll get flown out to Los Angeles. Oh, good. And get flown to Los Angeles.
Okay.
You can get to stay in a swanky hotel. And then you meet Ed and you stay to see his concert. And all you do is make a donation to RED, which is their amazing charity to help fight AIDS and the people afflicted with it. And then you can enter and get your chance to win. Obviously, the more you donate, the more chances you get. But you can find out all the info at omaze.com. They do some great charity work over there. And if you're an Ed Sheeran fan, this could be a fun event for you. But Allie would have to pass on the pizza. Or else bad things happen, apparently. Today's celebrity birthday is Sammy Hagar, 70 years old today. Doc Rivers, coach of the L.A. Clippers, is 56. Kate Walsh from Grey's Anatomy, I want to say.
Formerly, yes.
Yeah. Right?
Wasn't that when we first fell in love with her?
Practice or something?
Yeah, she's 50 years old. Sacha Baron Cohen's 46. Ashanti is 37 years old. Kayla McLachlan Lucas on Stranger Things is now 16. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Quick reminder, Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we roll out the latest Kevin and Bean t-shirt for charity. I think you are going to like it. Also, details on K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas at 7:20. We've got that. First, though, let's keep it 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100. Bitch, I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. Not going to lie, Allie, I love our listeners on Fridays. They come up with so many great songs. I wish we could do the whole show like Keep It 100 where they pick the music. Listen to some of these songs that just missed being Texture 100. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number 98, Southside by Moby featuring Gwen Stefani.
Great
How
song.
Great would that have been to hear?
Great song.
Number 98. Number 99, Stutter by Elastica. Sorry, Mark, Anaheim Hills. And on the other side of the winner, Slow Hands by Interpol for Suzanne and Chino. That one didn't make it. That was number 101.
Oh, man.
But let's meet Texture number 100, shall we, and say hello to our new best friend, Juan. He's in Fullerton. Hey, Juan.
Hey, Bean. How's it going?
Say hi to Allie.
Hi, Allie.
Hi, Juan.
Ooh. I hear a love connection now.
Oh, good Lord. Let the man make his dedication.
What? Before we hear your song, what are you up to? What's your Friday looking like? What's your weekend looking like, Juan?
Well, I'm stuck at work and I'm sick.
Oh, Ron.
That's a bad combination. What kind of work do you do?
I work for a certain phone company.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now?
Not that one.
Okay.
That
one. All right. Got All it. Right.
Fortunately, people, when they call the phone company, don't expect that much of the way of customer service. So you can slack even more than usual and get away with it today, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, mostly.
Okay. All right. Well, we hope to improve your weekend and the weekend of the people listening. Why don't you tell us what song you want for Keep It 100?
It's Oingo Boingo, Dead Men's Party.
And how'd you come up with that suggestion, Juan?
It's my wife's favorite song, so this is for her.
All right. Aww. It's for Juan's wife. You guys, happy Halloween. Thank you for listening. Let's keep it 100.
Keep it 100. 100.
We were talking earlier today with our friend Director McGee about some of the founding fathers of K-Rock. Boingo got to be on that list,
absolutely.
Right near the top. Yeah. Man, I miss those guys so much. But at least we've had the opportunity to see Danny Elfman sing that song fairly recently because they did that at the end of the Nightmare Before Christmas shows at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
But Dead Man's Party, great choice. Thank you, Juan from Fullerton, for keeping it 100. We'll do it again next Friday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. L.A. and O.C.'s Alternative Rock, I believe that is the number one song here at K-Rock this week from Rise Against. That is called The Violence. It's Kevin and Bean Show, Jimmy Eat World coming up, and a little song that we like to call Don't Bogart That Joint, minutes away. Ralph Garman is here wearing his Philadelphia Eagles cap.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good after that big game last night?
Oh, it was tense. It was tense the last 4 minutes or so, but pulled out the win, 5-1, sharing the best record in the NFC.
I would love to be 5-1. That's real good about now. 9:38, time for a final look at the show business. Then we'll sing that song to take us out of here for the weekend. What's going on?
Before I get to the show business news, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see the snowman?
Yay! Frozen 2?
No, the snowman. The movie The Snowman.
That's a little different.
Michael Fassbender, Rebecca Ferguson, James Darcy, Charlotte Gainsborough. Oh, this movie looks awesome. I love Fassbender. I think he's a terrific actor.
I do, too. And he makes such interesting choices in the films he picks.
In this movie, plays Detective Harry Hole.
Well.
Who's investigating the disappearance of a woman whose pink scarf is found wrapped around an ominous-looking snowman. And that's just the beginning. Then the serial killer starts to leave clues for him. And then people get snowheads. And snowmen get people heads. It's a big head exchange program that I just cannot condone.
You are all going to die tonight.
It looks terrifying.
Yeah.
We're doing a special K-Rock advance screening of The Snowman at the Pacific's The Grove Theater. October 18th is the date. Movies and theaters everywhere on the 20th, but you'll see it early if you're one of the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number. We'll get a pair of passes to see the K-Rock advance screening of The Snowman.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
That's what I
said. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too. Where's Doe?
I'm not so sure.
We heard from Mr. Toe lately.
Did we call him Mr. Toe?
We talked about calling him when Steven Seagal was in the
Cigar
news.
Steven Seagal was saying the NFL shouldn't take a knee, right?
And then, that guy. What would he need him for?
And then who challenged him? George Foreman challenged him to a pay-per-view boxing
match.
There's
a lot of Cigar news.
Hey, Dave, that's right. Where's Doto?
That would have been a useful phone call to make if someone had actually called Doto and tried to get him on the show.
Oh, here you go. Dave tells me he was on the B-Team podcast 2 weeks ago. That's where all the good guests are going now.
Oh, I see.
Dave is saving him for himself now.
Well, thanks for your help, Dave. Once again, you've really
How about spreading the love around a little bit, King? How about getting us some Doto?
Come through
we
in the clutch.
We just had Sam. Come on, give the listeners a break.
All right, Monday morning, we'll talk to Doto. Catch
no,
up
we won't.
Him.
It's not that easy.
Yeah, that's true. You got to put the bat signal in the sky to get them.
Hey, this is interesting. You know CoverGirl, the makeup company?
Easy, breezy, beautiful.
Listen to Allie. Listen to that. That's how ingrained it is. Their catchphrase, their slogan, their advertising slogan. Once again, Allie?
Easy, breezy, beautiful.
Easy, breezy, beautiful CoverGirl. Well, those days are over. Over.
Oh, no.
CoverGirl just released their new slogan. This week, here it is. I am what I make up.
Nope.
Yep.
Wait, are you serious?
Wait, hold on. hold on. What?
I am what I make up.
Okay, that's bad on two levels. I am what I make up. So I am what I'm lying about, or I am what I make up, which means I am who I am when I put makeup on, which means I'm not my true self.
Exactly.
That's horrible.
You can only be your true self when you're wearing their makeup, or you're just making stuff up, and that's
who
you are.
What is wrong with you, CoverGirl?
You're creating a false identity.
That is not easy.
You are what you make up.
Nor breezy, nor beautiful.
The company says the new tagline is meant to encourage individual expression. Allowing people to unapologetically create any version of themselves through makeup. It ain't broke. Don't fix it, CoverGirl.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Yeah, they're gonna backpedal on that pretty soon,
for
I'm assuming.
Sure.
Congratulations to ABC. Looks like they got a new series on their hands. They've got a new pilot that they've just ordered for a show called Big Law. It takes place in a big Los Angeles law firm. and tells you what it's like to work at a big law firm in Los Angeles. Finally, a TV show about lawyers. I'm glad they finally got around to that, because that's an untapped pool of ideas and characters, I think.
It's stunning. There hasn't been a show called L.A. Law.
Right?
You bring it up like that, Ralph.
If it's a law firm in L.A., well, you could just call it L.A. Law.
Yeah. Right?
It's catchy.
This will be big law.
Huh.
I hope they start making medical shows soon about
no
doctors.
No way. How could they do that?
I think that would be ripe for drama.
Big hospital. Be a show.
Big doctor.
Hey, anyone watching The Mayor? The Mayor is the show I keep reading about, keep hearing about.
It's
apparently
hot.
That's the hot new thing right now, right?
It's awesome.
That's also on ABC. Very funny.
Yes.
It's hot. I like it. I'm going to buy it.
It's on right after Black-ish. It's adorable.
Tell me if I'm a bad person, because I wanted to see it, but I could not find the first episode available on demand. And I didn't want to start with episode two.
ABC so, Go.
I went to I did the search on my DirecTV, thought it would come up on being available ABC demand and on demand, and it did not.
Interesting.
Go online.
That show was available for, I think, close to 3 weeks before the premiere even came out.
Well, they pulled it
did
off.
Did you
DirecTV.
Try the website?
No, I just used the DirecTV.
Well, go on the website.
All right, that's what I'll do. Thank you. That's the tip I was looking for. So I want to start it from
the
beginning.
How hard is that tip? How could you not figure that one out on your own?
If it's not on demand, it's nowhere, Ralph. You know this.
It's not a Fiends DirecTV. It doesn't exist.
It does not exist.
You are adorable.
All right.
Well, no, it's a good tip, and I'll try that. Thank you.
It's a delightful show.
You can see shows on your computer on demand?
What the hell?
I was kidding, by the way, but... They ought to still have it available on DirecTV. That's what I'm saying. Is why take episode one off? I don't understand that.
I have a feeling it isn't.
I looked. I'm telling you, I checked.
I have a feeling it is there.
Okay, well, it's not.
I think it's user error.
Okay. I just think you're terrific.
You know, while we're talking about Harvey Weinstein and how disgusting he is and how he takes advantage, interestingly enough, I think as a sidebar, I mean, not to take any spotlight away from what women have to put up with in this industry and in general in terms of sexual harassment and men trying to use their power and position to take advantage of women. This interesting sidebar is of all these men who are coming forth and saying they also were sexually harassed and assaulted in the entertainment business. Mm-hmm. Terry Crews came out and said a high-powered producer grabbed his genitals through his pants and cornered him. And now James Vanderbeek has come forward and said that his ass was grabbed many times by older, powerful men who would corner him in inappropriate sexual conversations when he was much younger. Now that he's older and unattractive, they don't bother him. But when he was young...
I don't believe that was added to his statement.
Oh,
I think he
sorry.
Said that.
But, so it's troubling how widespread and deep-seated this problem is in this industry in particular.
Was it Emma Thompson yesterday, Allie, who gave that interview and said, this is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
There is
so
much more.
Yep.
She said she spent the better part of her 20s trying to keep old men's tongues out of her mouth because it was just a constant barrage of sexual assault.
And let's be real. This isn't just Hollywood. This is women at banks. This is
right. It's pervasive throughout society.
I am anticipating, and I don't know how long it'll take, but there's going to be a lot coming out about kids and what they've gone through.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awful.
Yeah. It's even worse if there is a way to...
Our society has a problem.
Qualify it. It is. It's even more disturbing when it happens to children. That's absolutely. They're making a movie about the Coreys, by the way, and what they went through in their childhood based on Corey Feldman's book. Mm-hmm. And his friend Corey Haim, of course, took his own life, and they say largely because of the abuse that he had to endure when he was a kid actor.
So, yeah.
It's tough stuff. All right. Let's get to celebrity birthdays. Caleb McLaughlin. You know him as Lucas on Stranger Things. He's 16 years old today. Ashanti is 37. Sacha Baron Cohen is 46 years old. Kate Walsh celebrates her 50th birthday. Sammy Hagar, 70. And Doc Rivers, coach of your L.A. Clippers, he is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today. Listen to this. Next week on the show, we have some super fun guests coming by, including Oscar winner J.K. Simmons on the program. We're going to catch up. It hasn't been that long since it's been in, but it's always a lot of fun to talk with Beck. He'll be joining us. That's coming up next week on the show. Method Man will be here on Tuesday. Allie?
METHOD.
Man Tuesday. So have a great week. We'll see you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Zendo.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's a black man's name right there.
Roll another one.
Shut up, Bean.
Just like the other one.
Oh, come on, it's a fun fact.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's a mockery of all our work.
And I need another hit.
God had to raise up somebody like him that's not a traditional person. He's not a politician. But you see, God's having the last laugh because he's raised up Trump.
Roll. Roll another one.
You seem really nice. Can we be friends?
Just like the other one.
You just can't get away with that, bro.
This one seems to be about to end.
Wait a minute. Don't get excited.
I don't have another cent.
Sometimes it comes off as condescending. I don't know. What does condescending mean?
Y'all are killing it right now.
Just pass it around.
Bitch, I don't know your life.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Tell that to my wiener.
I just pass it on down.
This is disappointing again.
Da 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 da.
Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye.
There he is. Come on now.
I think we're going to be okay. Full speed ahead and damn the torpedoes.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
So this will have to serve as our goodbye. Don't let the door hit you where God split you.
Butt stuff. You're the butt stuff. Butt stuff. Butt stuff.